This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan. Huge recruiting weekend for the Oregon Ducks and a big recruiting weekend for the Oregon State Beavers. On last week's show, we had on 24/7 national recruiting expert Brandon Huffman. And we talked about the top prospects in the Northwest with a focus on the state of Washington. We talked about Oregon a little bit in 2020. We talked about who was left in 2019. But the main focus were the top prospects in Washington. And believe it or not, that was intentional. Because the Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers are going to start making a push in the state of Washington. And it starts big for the Ducks this weekend. Now, they've hosted some guys before. This is when they go all in. And when we look forward, right now in the class of 2019, the reason Oregon's had so much success on the recruiting trail has been, and you've seen the hashtag Cali Flock. They've got a number of top prospects from the state of California. Mikhail Wright, who's going to visit Oregon this weekend, the number four corner in the country. He's already committed to Oregon. The modern day kids. Normally those guys are headed to USC, UCLA. Four-star kids all headed to Oregon. California in the class of 2019 has been the defining characteristic of Oregon's success. Going forward in the class of 2020 and the class of 2021, if Oregon's going to have a top five recruiting class, yes, they will still have to recruit California. California will always be a big deal. But going forward, Oregon, and even more importantly, Washington, is going to be huge. Oregon this weekend from the class of 2020 hosting Aiden Hector. Aiden Hector has offers from Oregon, Oregon State, USC, a bunch of others. He's one of the top 20 corners in the entire country. DJ Rogers, the nation's number four tight end in the class of 2020, going to be in town. G. Scott Jr. is going to join the show in the next segment. He has a game tonight, so I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag here. We pre-taped an interview earlier today, and I had a chance to talk to G. Scott. G. Scott Jr. is listed as the number 12 wide receiver in the country. He's definitely going to produce like a top three or four receiver in the country. And you look at guys and you say, why does a guy bust? Why do four or five star guys bust? A lot of it's because of work ethic. They think they're done. I'm a four star prospect. I've got 15 offers. I don't have to worry about anything else. G. Scott Jr. is not that guy. He trains with Doug Baldwin up in Seattle. His dad is an ESPN radio personality. Works with the Seahawks. He's connected G. Scott Jr. and so is Ford Sports Performance with Tracy Ford. They've connected the Seahawks and some of the top players in Seattle and they work out together. G. Scott Jr.'s workout partner is Doug Baldwin. And we'll talk to him and I've already spoken to him. And one of the things he talks about is kids think they're done. They get some offers and they think it's over. This is just the beginning. This is only the beginning is getting the offers. You have to produce every rep. You have to prove that you're a star every time you step out on the field. That's why G. Scott Jr., I'll take him over any kid any day of the week. That kid works his tail off. And he's not learning at a college level. He's learning at a pro level. He's learning from Doug Baldwin. What do you do to get ready? And he's trying to replicate that. And then five-star outside linebacker defensive end Savelle Smalls, also going to be in Eugene. Savelle Smalls, arguably the best edge rusher in the nation in the class of 2020. He's going to be a tough get. He's going to be a really tough kid. He's got offers from everybody. Alabama, Penn State. When Alabama comes to see you and sends their staff to see you when you're a sophomore, you're special. Savelle Smalls is ridiculous. He's ridiculous. An incredibly talented kid. And even at that, Savelle Smalls is not the highest rated kid that is going to be on campus this weekend. Oregon is hosting DJ Uiagalelei, the number one prospect in the entire country. For the class of 2020, a five-star quarterback. Oregon has never had this guy. Oregon has had special quarterbacks. Dennis Dixon was an Elite 11 or Air Academy guy back then. Top five dual-threat quarterback in the country. Marcus Mariota was a three-star prospect. Justin Herbert was a three-star prospect. Joey Harrington was a three-star prospect. They've had really good quarterbacks. They've never had this guy. DJ Uiagalelei, the nation's number one quarterback. If he doesn't play college football, he's projected as a first-round Major League Baseball talent. He's ridiculous. A cannon for an arm, 6'5", 235, 240 pounds. There are people talking about him as the surest thing, the highest floor. There is no bust potential here. That's what people have to say about DJ Uiagalelei. He's that special. From St. John Bosco, he's visiting with four-star cornerback Trent McDuffie, who's going to join the show later if he gets out of practice in time. But DJ Uiagalelei is the guy to watch in the class of 2020. If you look back, if we look back a year from now, 18 months from now, and Oregon did well with guys like G. Scott, Savelle Smalls, and they bring in a DJ, you could be talking about a top three class in the entire country. If they don't, we still could be talking about a very good group, but it won't quite have that same level. This group has a chance to be special. And what I like about what Oregon's doing is, yes, they have this high-profile recruits coming in, 2 5-star prospects, 2 of the nation's top 5 kids. But when we talk about laying the groundwork for the future, they've also got class of 2020 guys from Oregon. Jalen John, the 4-star running back. Silas Starr, the 4-star wide receiver. Paying attention to the key recruits at home. Oregon's got 21 commitments, only 4 spots left in the class of 2019. So you didn't hear me mention a lot of 2019. You hear me mentioning 2020. They're laying the groundwork. The plan right now is to lay the groundwork for the future. When you get guys early, you can put in extra time a year ahead. And that's what Oregon set themselves up for. They've got a potential big 2020 class. But, in the class of 2019, they still need help up front. They still need a D lineman. They'll still probably take a corner, and they might take a couple of linebackers. So they're hosting Jared Casey out of Kentucky, a 4-star inside linebacker. Oregon, one of his favorites. I think if this visit goes well, they potentially establish themselves as a favorite. Jared Casey's a guy to watch going forward. He's got a lot of offers back east, not a lot in the West Coast, but he's willing to go to the West Coast. And if Oregon beats Stanford and it's a big weekend and he feels good about it, even a close game, and he feels really good about it, I think Oregon could get Jared Casey. And then Braylon Trice, the defensive end outside linebacker, wants to play outside linebacker, projected as an outside linebacker for the Ducks. He is down to a top 3 of Oregon, Notre Dame, and Washington. Braylon Trice committing on October 6th. I don't necessarily think Oregon is the heavy favorite here. In fact, I'd put them back a ways. I think Notre Dame's probably the favorite, but they've got a chance. Now remember, Oregon is still set to host Kayvon Thibodeau, the nation's number one prospect in this year's class. It's a special group. It's a special group coming in this weekend. And again, Oregon, and we teased it a little bit kind of under the radar last week, talking about Washington kids and kind of setting the stage for that. As much as California matters, and it absolutely is going to matter, Washington, not California necessarily as much, might be the difference maker for Oregon, particularly in that class of 2021. We talked about 2020. Not a lot of visitors from 2021, but just to give you a rundown of Washington's 2021. The nation's number one prospect right now is a defensive tackle from Washington, JT Tuimoloau. There's a 5-star quarterback, Sam Heward. You remember the pick? Remember the Washington quarterback that threw the pick to Kenny Wheaton? That's a Heward. Sam Heward threw 10 touchdown passes in week 1 or week 2 of the high school football season. Was an All-American as a freshman. Elite, elite player. Emeka Egbuka, an athlete. Julian Simon, an athlete. Both those guys are high four-star. Top 50 prospects in the country. Washington is going to be that Cali flock. That's what's going to matter for Oregon going forward. Yes, they'll get California talent. We have to say that. I have to reiterate that over and over. But Washington's going to matter. The relationships Oregon is building. You want to know one of the reasons Oregon felt good about going and getting a Cale Millen instead of taking a Michael Johnson Jr.? You want to know why Treshawn Harrison mattered so much to Willie Taggart, that was his first offer when he went to Florida State? It's because they're trying to build that pipeline to Washington, because the future in Washington is really bright. Cale Millen plays for a 7-on-7 program that produces some of these talents. Cale Millen over Michael Johnson Jr., don't get it twisted. Yes, they liked Cale Millen slightly better. Part of it was starting to build a relationship in the state of Washington. Hugh Millen played at Washington. You don't think that sends a message? Oregon offering all these kids before Washington. They're trying to send a message. They're trying to get their hooks in Washington. And one of the key guys out of that group, I'm telling you, he's going to be electric. 6'3", 200-pound, four-star wide receiver in the class of 2020. He is Doug Baldwin's protege. It's G. Scott Jr., and he joins me next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
In the class of 2019, the Oregon Ducks have heavily recruited the state of California. But going forward, in the class of 2020, Oregon and Washington are absolutely loaded. It's going to be crucial that they recruit those two states. And in the class of 2021, Washington is again loaded. So Oregon is going to try to get their hooks in on the top Northwest talent. Joining me now is one of those key prospects in the Northwest. It's four-star wide receiver G. Scott Jr. G., how you doing, man?
Doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing really well. So how good is this Washington class of 2020 and 2021? It's two classes, and it just seems like in terms of a top five or six, it's as good as California, Texas, or Florida.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take our Washington guys over anyone. I mean, the amount of talent that we have that come through and that I see on the daily basis, whether that's at a 7-on-7 tournament somewhere or regardless of where I am, I mean, I'm seeing talent running all around here. And so the kind of talent we got in Washington is second to none.
6'3", 200 pounds. And the thing that I like about your game is how hard you work. I don't know if there's a kid who works harder. For people who don't know, you're rated, I think, the number 12 receiver in the country. I've talked about this before on the show. I talked about it with Tracy. I've got you as a top three, maybe, receiver in the entire country. I think you could play college ball right now because of your dedication. And one of the things you do that separates you is your work with Doug Baldwin. You do a lot with that Seattle Seahawks wide receiver. How did that relationship start, and what's your guys' training regimen right now?
That kind of started through my dad. I mean, my dad kind of gave me that connection with the Seahawks. I mean, he started off working there. Then I actually got a job there, and I started to work there myself. And so, I mean, as I got to create a relationship with some of the players, not only did it show me, like, a lot of good stuff with, like the skill-wise things, but, like, that's probably the littlest amount I learned from them. It was really the mental part of the game and how mentally tough you have to be. And, like, I mean, there's guys that go through there are the most talented guys in the world, and they just don't make it because their mental isn't right. And so a lot of the emphasis that Doug puts on me is just making sure that your mental is right, making sure that you're you are working hard and you're doing what it takes to be able to play at the next level. And a lot of the preparation that he teaches me isn't so I can go out on Friday nights and do good against them, but he's getting prepared for Saturday and so and hopefully Sunday one day. And so just the mental side of the game is a very vital point of it.
I cover Oregon in great detail, high school football in Oregon, and one of the things that I've noticed that separates, especially when I see 7-on-7 football, that separates Washington from Oregon is that mentality. And it's you, and you have it to the nth degree. I mean, you absolutely are that guy that wants to get ready for Saturdays and maybe Sundays someday. But in Oregon, there's a lot of, I've got my scholarships, I'm ready. In Washington, there's this idea that, like, scholarships are great. This is only the beginning. And you guys all kind of work out together, all the top prospects. How is that built in Seattle? What created that mentality? Because it is a different mentality, and it's there in basketball, too.
Yeah, no. I mean, just that no satisfaction mentality, and I feel like a lot of that has been built around Tracy Ford and what he has done to the community. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. I don't know how well you know him, but the things that he's done for the community is just ridiculous. And the way he keeps us humble and the way he can bring us all together and let us know that, man, he brings us around some of the best athletes in the world right now. And we're seeing them, we're working out with them. I mean, we look at ourselves like, man, we got to get to that level. Like, I gotta step my game up. And so when you're around people like that, then it definitely makes your mental game, and you want to be great.
Tracy Ford has Ford Sports Performance. It's a workout center. He also has a 7-on-7 program that's nationally ranked. For people who don't know, he works out with Miles Jack, Buda Baker, a bunch of the Seahawks, Bobby Wagner, Doug Baldwin obviously comes to mind. And all those guys work out with the high school kids. And there's college kids that come back and work out. They all work out together. They all lift together. And it does create this mentality that doesn't exist a lot of places. Yes, it really is a unique thing. You are,
yes, sir,
again, a class of 2020 four-star receiver, G. Scott Jr. You visited Oregon last week for the San Jose State game. You're visiting again this week, but I want to focus first on the San Jose State game. For you, a lot of that visit was about experiencing the culture versus the atmosphere. What is the culture right now around the Oregon Ducks when it's a Mario Cristobal-led program?
When I went down there, I was just kind of trying to fill it out. I mean, this is my first time with Coach Cristobal down there. I've been down there about a year ago, and it's a totally different kind of culture right now. And with Coach Cristobal there, it's a great place. And I'm just definitely looking forward to get back there again, see what they're going to do against Stanford. And that's my mentality going into things right now.
And then the Stanford game coming up this weekend, there's a bunch of you guys coming, including Savelle Smalls, another Washington prospect, a five-star outside linebacker, the number five player in the country. Oregon's making Washington a priority. I think Aiden Hector is coming as well, a four-star corner. Why are you coming back for a second weekend in a row? Is it just it's a big game, or is there some serious thought about, not a commitment by any stretch, but is there some serious thought about Oregon being a contender for you?
It's both. I mean, it's both. I mean, I'm definitely interested in going down there to see what they're going to bring to the table against it's a big-time school in Stanford, and I'm curious to see that. And on top of that, yeah, I mean, I look at Oregon very highly, and that's a school that's a college town, and I mean that place right there is very special.
Realistically, there is a possibility that this Washington group wants to just stay together, and if you did, wherever you went, whether it be USC or Oregon or Washington or Washington State, you guys would be really good. I mean, you know, there is a collection of 10 or 11 top 100 prospects coming out of the state. How much do you guys talk about staying together? I know you're kind of scattered throughout the Seattle area, and how much of it is an individual thing right now?
I mean, and the guys that go to Eastside Catholic, like JT, which is the number one player in the country for 2021, Aiden Hector, Sam Adams, DJ Rogers, all these guys, these are all guys that I've never played football without them. So, I started football in eighth grade, and I've never played a down of football without these guys, whether that's 7-on-7 or real football. So I don't even know what it's like to play without them. And so having the feeling to go and play college football with them, I mean, that's something that, I mean, I'd definitely be interested in doing. And so, yeah, we do have those conversations as if we're all going to go to the same place. And, I keep good relations with other national recruits throughout the country, and we kind of talk about what are some of the places. I mean, definitely Oregon comes up in a lot of the conversation also, and so that's kind of my thing.
What downtime do you have? I know you do 7-on-7. You train with Doug Baldwin. You've got the football season, and I know that you take a mentality to be focused every single rep. That's one of the things that makes you unique, is you go 100% every single route, every single play. When do you have downtime, or do you? Is it a year-round training for you?
It's definitely year-round training. The thing is, it doesn't really stop. And so the only, it doesn't really stop. And the only time I do really get to stop is when, my dad kind of makes me, he was like, hey, you need to focus on being a kid right now, and you can go hang out with some friends and just do you. And he'll tell me to take a week off and just be like, hey, this week is just dedicated to resting. Maybe we'll do some hot yoga. And other than that, that's really it.
What kind of mentality do you take into preparing for college? It does seem like it's a blanket thing for you. It's not just, I imagine you're a guy who also eats right and does everything right already. How did you learn to do that? And when did you decide to flip that switch to say, I'm going to go 24/7? I think for Oregon people, I would compare G. Scott's work ethic similar to Peyton Pritchard, who worked tirelessly as a basketball prospect in Oregon. That's the way G. Scott does things, 24/7, constant focus. When did you start to kind of flip that switch to say that's the way you want to approach football?
I mean, as soon as I started getting around these guys in the NFL, they kind of showed me at a young age that, like, this is what it takes to make it to the next level. And so, I kind of realized that I only have 24 hours in the day. And so that's why, I got to take full advantage of those 24 hours. And, that's why, even I just deleted Snapchat because, I just got to get my focus right and make sure I'm doing what it takes to be able to play at the next level. And, I really just try to make sure I'm taking full advantage of those 24 hours, and that's whether I'm eating right. And in that 24 hours, sleep is just even important. So if I can go sleep earlier than the kid next to me, then that just gives my chances to be able to go farther than him. And so that's just kind of my thing, and that's what's been installed in me since I've even started playing football. It's just like, man, you gotta do whatever it takes, whether it's a little thing or it's a big thing. And another thing is just staying consistent with it. Always, whatever you do, you go 110% of it, and you stay consistent with it. And that's regardless of the circumstances, and you just give it all you got every day.
He's class of 2020 four-star wide receiver G. Scott Jr., rated the number 12 receiver in the country, which is complete and utter nonsense. I'm telling you, he is going to be a big-time college football player, not only because of his talent, but because of his worth ethic. G. Scott Jr., thank you so much for joining us, man, and I hope we get a chance to connect after your Oregon trip to talk about what you thought of the Stanford game.
Yes, sir, always. Thanks for having me.
You look at how a guy makes it versus how a guy flames out. And what it really comes down to in large part, because all these four and five star guys are going to have athleticism. They're all going to have measurements. It comes down to intangibles. And I would take G. Scott Jr.'s work ethic over just about any kid I've seen in the time I've been covering high school football in Oregon. He really cares. He really wants to be elite. And I think he's, because of that, even if he's not athletically quite where the number one and number two and number three guy in the country are, I think I'd take him over almost anybody. G. Scott Jr. visiting Oregon this weekend. Another key visitor, and this one from California. Oregon wants a cornerback in the class of 2019. One of their main targets is four-star corner Trent McDuffie from St. John Bosco. He's visiting with DJ Uiagalelei. They're coming up together. I will talk to Trent McDuffie next on Recruiting with Andrew Nimick on 1080 The Fan. Here's Mike with SportsCenter. The Oregon Ducks have 21 commitments already in the class of 2019. Not a lot of spots left, but one area they want to hit. They want to get a cornerback. And if you're going to get a corner, one of the ones left on the board who could be a big-time talent is four-star corner Trent McDuffie. He joins the show now. He is visiting Oregon this weekend on an unofficial visit. Trent, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on the show.
How excited are you about this trip to Oregon, and what are you hoping to see out of a big matchup between Oregon and Stanford?
I mean, I'm pretty pumped, you know, college game day, so, you know, the environment's going to be jumping. And, you know, I really just want to see how the coaches just coach during such a difficult time playing such a good team. And I'm really happy just to go up there and just talk to the coaches, you know, get to know the players more and just feel that locker room vibe.
Okay, be honest, because you like both schools. Oregon and Stanford are two of your top schools. Are you going to try to, like, sneak over and say hi to the Stanford guys too, or do you try to keep that separate on an unofficial visit?
No, I keep that separate. You know, I'm up in Oregon, so I'm strictly Oregon.
Are you planning on taking an official visit to Oregon, and have you scheduled that yet?
I actually think I'm going to. I was talking with the coaches, and it's probably going to be sometime during December when it's after season, you know, and I can just go out there and just hang out with them.
Oregon has made a real concerted effort to get involved with Modern Day, to get involved with St. John Bosco, to get involved essentially with the top players in the state of California. How much does that resonate with you? Does that hit home a little bit with you, where you're like, man, all these kids are going to Oregon, I want to check things out, or is that not really a factor in your recruitment?
I mean, I guess it's got to be a little bit, you know, getting so many guys to go up to your school and commit. I mean, it means a lot. Just knowing that all these dudes and stuff, hearing them talk about it, I mean, it's pretty exciting just knowing what they have in store.
Who's the coach that's recruiting you the hardest? What's that relationship like, of the Oregon coaches, I should say?
I talk to Coach Dante a lot. We talk on the phone a lot. We're always touching each other. He's always talking to me about, you know, what I can do on the field, always watching my film, giving me little tips. And I'll talk to Keith Hayward. Me and him have a good relationship. I've known him for a little longer than Dante, but I mean, both coaches are great, and our relationship's pretty strong.
Now, you're being recruited by some big-time schools, and one of the things that's happening now with the December signing period, kids are committing earlier and earlier, and as you go, there are times where your offers aren't there anymore, even when you're an elite kid, but because you're considering elite schools. How much pressure do you feel to commit sooner rather than later, or do you not feel that pressure at all with your recruitment?
I mean, there's a little pressure, you know, just knowing that spots are filling up real quickly. But, I mean, I talked to the coaches enough that I know that they want me enough to kind of just wait out and just see what I like to do.
Talking to four-star cornerback Trent McDuffie, he is visiting with five-star quarterback, class of 2020 prospect DJ Uiagalelei. How good is DJ? We hear all kinds of stuff. I haven't had a chance to see him in person yet. How good is he really?
Honestly, that man has the best arm I've seen in a long time. He's physical, he's tall, and he really knows how to read the defense. So, I mean, going against him in practice every day really just gets me better and helping me with that competition part.
For folks who don't know Number two, Modern Day, plays IMG Academy in a huge high school football game. IMG Academy's from Florida. They're coming to California. I believe you guys are number one, right?
Yes, sir.
So you're number one. IMG is, I think, fifth. Modern Day is second. And everybody's billing this as almost a national championship game. What do the St. John Bosco guys think of this game? I mean, are you guys excited about seeing it? Are you guys interested in it at all? Or are you guys just so focused on your own stuff you don't want to listen to the noise?
I mean, pretty excited, you know, to get to play a top team in the country and just seeing them battle. And, you know, we know a lot of the dudes, so, you know, we're pretty pumped up about it. But, I mean, it's also like a learning thing just to see how they react to such a tough, talented team.
How well do you know the different Oregon commits? Obviously, you've got a teammate that's committed to Oregon, but how well do you know the Cali Flock guys? I know they go to different schools, but do you guys see each other at elite camps quite a bit?
Yeah, actually, up at the opening in Dallas, I got to talk to them a lot and kind of just see why they chose to go to Oregon and things like that. So, I mean, I talk to them all the time, so I think our relationship is pretty strong.
For people who don't know, you're taking an unofficial this time. I think there are a lot of listeners who aren't real sure about what the difference is in terms of, as a recruit, what an unofficial visit is like compared to an official. What is an unofficial visit like? I know, you know, they know you pay your own way versus an official, the school pays for your trip. But how is it different in terms of your personal experience as a prospect? What's different about an unofficial and official in terms of access or maybe the way you're treated on a trip?
Unofficially, you know, I kind of feel like we get more of a get to see what, like, the fans are like. You know, we get to go out a little more. We have a little more freedom as to an official where we're strictly with them. But unofficially, I kind of like it. You kind of just to see the town around it, all the kids and all the fans that are there.
What are you looking for out of this Oregon trip or any school in general? When you see the school and say, this is the school for me, this is the school that Trent McDuffie wants to go to for the next 4 years, what is that feeling or what does that look like?
I mean, really, it's just the best place that fits me, you know, just my personality, the kids who are there, how I react with the coaches. So, I mean, the big part is just me feeling comfortable with it.
What's better for a visitor? I've always wondered this. There's a part of me that thinks, yes, I always, if I was a recruit, and believe me, I never was, would be to go to a big game but be one of the only kids there so the coaching staff can kind of focus on me and I get a more personal experience. And then there's another part of me that says, I want to go to the big weekend where there's 30 guys coming and I get to potentially meet future teammates and get a feeling for what it would be like to create a class. Which one do you prefer? What's better in your experience?
I mean, I've done both, but I definitely like when I get to go up there with a bunch of kids who go up there. We kind of just all sit around, talk about it, you know, see the things we like and dislike, and you kind of get a better feeling as to what Oregon has to offer and what the kids are thinking and possibly if you can be teammates.
Trent, I'm going to have to put you on the spot, man. I know you know both of these teams pretty well. You're considering both Oregon and Stanford. Do you have a score prediction for us?
Let's see.
You can't call it a tie.
No, definitely not. I think it's going to be real close.
Okay.
I think it's going to come down to the very end. Both defenses are pretty strong. Oregon has a pretty high pace offense.
Yes.
But, I mean, let me throw, I'll say 14-13 Oregon.
Whoa, low scoring. I like it.
Yeah.
All right, Trent, four-star cornerback Trent McDuffie visiting Oregon this weekend. If you see him, say hi. He's on an unofficial visit. Trent, good luck to you, and travel safe, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It gets tricky when you're Oregon. You have a tradition of recruiting, and they've had to say no. Jameson Williams is a big-time four-star wide receiver, was supposed to take a visit. Oregon decides, you know, we don't really have any more room for wide receivers. Giles Jackson is the nation's number one or number three all-purpose running back, depending on which site you use. He was looking at Oregon. There were rumors he was a silent commit. He ends up going to Michigan because Oregon gets full. They're having to be selective. And when they're having to be selective and Trent McDuffie gets two trips, an unofficial, and then they're trying to set up an official, you know he's a priority. Trent McDuffie is a big-time priority. This is a big weekend, and Oregon needs to get in with St. John Bosco. They already have Sua Avipoti, the four-star defensive tackle. You get Trent McDuffie, then maybe you've got a shot with DJ Uigalele because that St. John Bosco pipeline is real. Yes, he's considering Clemson. Yes, he's considering Alabama. Yes, he's considering USC. But Trent McDuffie is not just important in his own right. And if he were at any school, you'd want him. But throw in the mix that he might help influence DJ, and Trent McDuffie is a big-time recruit this weekend. We got to preview the Bi-Mart game of the week. I'm on the call with Swag. It is Sheldon at West Salem. There's also a huge high school matchup, Lake Oswego Clackamas, and score predictions. We've got Marcus Greaves in the booth. He is the new producer of the show. We got to break down Oregon and Oregon State. Oregon playing, who's Oregon playing again? Stanford. God, I totally blanked. I just talked about it. Oregon's playing Stanford. Oregon State's playing Arizona. We'll break down the scores and give a score prediction next. I'm recruiting with Andrew Nimick on 1080 The Fan.
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nimick on 1080 The Fan.
Huge Oregon High School Football Week. The Bi-Mart game of the week, Jason Swigard and I will be on the call. It is Sheldon at West Salem. Sheldon is loaded. Under Armour All-American quarterback Michael Johnson Jr. is healthy. Patrick Herbert, Justin Herbert's little brother, the tight end for Sheldon. By the way, not so little. He's 6'5", 235 pounds already. Caught three touchdown passes a couple weeks ago with the Oregon Ducks coaching staff watching. That's going to be a good one against a West Salem team that has three receivers who run the 100 in 10-4, 10-5, 10-6, and they've got a three-star athlete at quarterback in Simon Thompson. Should be a really good one. And then the other big game is number one Clackamas against number two Lake Oswego, or number one Lake Oswego against number two Clackamas. Depends on who you listen to at Clackamas High School. Give me Lake Oswego, by the way, in that one, in a squeaker. But it's going to be a really good game. And then the Oregon Ducks are taking on Stanford. Even though I forgot who they were playing on before the break, take my analysis seriously here. You know what? I hate to say it. I'd love to be wrong about both these games. I think Stanford beats Oregon in a close one. And let me tell you why. Oregon's offensive line struggled to create space against San Jose State. Stanford's front seven, is going to be better than what San Jose State trotted out. Not only that, but Oregon's wide receivers all season, I don't care about the drops so much, which are bad. And no one's saying the drops aren't significant. They are. But more important than that, and sometimes you go, well, drops are correctable. You know what's not correctable? Not being able to get separation. Oregon's wide receivers, if you really watch them, have a really hard time getting away from corners. And I've always said, and I've always heard this said, you know, if you're talking to a wide receiver, you know where you're going. The DB doesn't. So imagine anybody having a race with someone and saying, we're going to race to a spot. You don't know where we're going, but I do. And losing that battle. That is a bad sign. Stanford's secondary is pretty good. They've got an explosive wide receiver. Bryce Love is back. I think it's going to be Stanford 31, Oregon 28. A close game, but Stanford pulls out the win. We're going to Marcus Greaves. It rhymes with leaves. He was a former Oregon State running back. His expertise might lie with the Beavers, but we got to go to him for an Oregon-Stanford score prediction.
That's going to be a tough one, man. I was thinking Oregon 31. I was going to say Stanford probably 17, man.
Really?
I really think the Ducks can pull off just because the talent that they have when they match up with Stanford. Obviously, Stanford, as we know, is, you know, more big boys, powerhouse football. But at the end of the day, when you have a quarterback like Justin Herbert, right, and it doesn't, you know, all they really have to do is get their athletes in open field, and that's truly how they obviously beat most people. But if you get the athletes the ball in the open field and just let them do their thing, because they have great athletes, as we know,
yeah,
then, you know, I don't think Stanford can really keep up with them.
I think Justin Herbert covers up a lot of warts.
Yeah.
And there are a lot. If you look at Oregon's running backs, I don't think they have an elite running back right now.
Yeah,
I think the future elite running back is CJ Verdell, and he's not quite there. He's a more effective runner right now than Tony Brooks James. Then the wide receivers are all inconsistent. They struggle. The one thing they do consistently is drop the ball.
Yeah.
And then you've got an offensive line who's facing its toughest test of the year. I think the offense has had its struggles, even against a team like San Jose State. They've had their struggles. They're playing the best defense they will have played all year to date. And Justin Herbert has covered up a lot of warts so far.
Yeah, I just think, you know, when it comes to something like that, it's just, you know, from experience, when you play teams that you know that you're better than, it's hard to, you know, wake up and really be as motivated, I want to say, because regardless, a game is a game, right? Anyone can win. It's college football. But, you know, when you're playing Portland State, it's a lot different than when you're playing Stanford. So all week in practice, it's, you know, their focus is probably at the peak of what it's been all season.
I agree. But I think it's really hard as an offense, especially an Oregon offense, that kind of deals in having a rhythm to it. When they haven't been able to establish a real consistent run game, and they had a good game against Portland State. I think they had two backs over 100 yards. But two of their three games, they've struggled to run the ball. And I think it's really hard to flip that switch and say, okay, now we're in rhythm. Now we catch the ball. Now we run our routes crisp. I think that's tough. And then on the flip side, I have not seen an Oregon defense that blows me away. Yes, they have playmakers. Jalen Jelks is a great football player.
Yeah.
Justin Hollins is a great football player. But I think at times you can pick them apart down the field. I don't see yet that they've turned that corner and become a very, very good defense. And Oregon has a history over the last few years that good quarterbacks come to Autzen, and sometimes, not all the time, sometimes those guys get in rhythm and start to get hot, and Oregon has a really hard time keeping them under like 350.
Yeah.
That's happened the last few years. So I look for that to be a close game. I just think Stanford pulls it out. And by the way, if I'm wrong, I will happily talk about it on the air. I would love nothing more than for Oregon and Oregon State to go 2-0. So I'll let you go first with Oregon State. Oregon State, Arizona, what do you think?
Oh, I think 48. I think I said 27, Oregon State, man.
Wow.
Dude, yeah, I got to take the Beavers in this one. No, I have to, man.
Are you wearing your Oregon State jersey? Take it off. What are you doing?
I got the Oregon State socks on.
Oh, dude.
Man,
okay.
I just think because Arizona's been struggling both in the trenches offensively and defensively. I want to say this Oregon State offense, as you've probably seen, they're a lot better. And they're actually, I think they're ranked number one in the Pac-12 right now. But that being said, you know, it's just, I think it's hard to, I don't want to say it's hard to win in research. I just think these guys are ready for a big game like this.
I feel you on that. And I'll say this. I think Coach Jonathan Smith is a better play caller than anyone Oregon's put out, whether it's Arroyo or Cristobal. Coach Smith is a really innovative, really creative play caller who feels things out and makes big play, calls big plays. And I really like what he does. That being said, Khalil Tate, when he's kept in the pocket, when you can keep him in the pocket, you've got a chance to win. When he's allowed to run around and create, Arizona's really dangerous. I don't see Oregon State being able to keep him and contain him in the pocket. I think he has a huge day. Arizona 41, Oregon State 34.
That's better than I expected. I'll take that.
I mean, this Oregon State team can score, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good. They're an improving football team. They're not a good football team. They're an innovative offense, and they take chances on defense. And that's what I've always thought. When you're bad, be creative on offense and take chances on defense, and you've got a chance to win. And I like that they do that. I think Coach Smith has them headed in the right direction.
I think they'll be fine. I think they win, but we'll see, man. I think it'll be a good game.
They're hosting all of their in-state commitments. They're hosting four-star corner Aiden Hector, who just had a pick six for Eastside Catholic as teammate of G. Scott Jr.'s. They're hosting Jalen McMillan, a four-star wide receiver who picked up offers from Alabama and LSU and Florida in the past couple weeks. They're doing the things right. They're hosting guys early. They're getting in early and trying to battle. We will talk about how those visits went. Maybe I will be wrong and have to admit that I was wrong about some score predictions. That'll be next week on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Thank you, as always, for listening, and tune in at 7 p.m. on 1080 The Fan on Friday night to hear Sheldon at West Salem in your Bi-Mark Game of the Week. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.